Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm really excited today to have as my guest Father Roy Bourgeois. I have heard about Father Bourgeois for many years. He is an organizer. He's a Catholic priest, first off, of the Mary Knoll Order. He lives in Georgia, where he has been organizing for 11 years School of the Americas Watch. And the School of the Americas is in Fort Bennington, Georgia. And this is a movement that has been very successful. It's really growing. And I guess, Father Bourgeois, I want to welcome you and ask you just if you would just dive in and say a little bit about what the School of the Americas is, because probably a lot of people don't know, although maybe a lot of people do know.
Yes, good to be with you, Sue. Let me say it was November the 16th, 1989, in El Salvador, another massacre, one of many, this time at the university run by the Jesuits, a group of Catholic priests of the Jesuit order. After midnight, these six priests, most of them scholars, they were dragged out of their rooms along with their co-worker, young mother, and her teenage daughter. And they were massacred, shot at close range, made front pages of our newspapers.
Yeah. Father Martí Maro was one of those priests, was he not?
He was.
I interviewed him, and he was one wonderful guy.
Yes, these Jesuits were well known. They run 28 universities here at home, many of them scholars. You know, they were giving lectures at colleges all over the world, actually. So this got the attention of members of Congress, many of them educated at Jesuit institutions. At that time, we were pumping $1 million a day into El Salvador. So we were very, very connected there, very close to the military. They sent a congressional task force to investigate, headed by Representative Joseph Moakley from Massachusetts. They returned reporting that those responsible for this massacre of the two women and the six Jesuits were trained at the U.S. Army School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia. That's when I saw that report, and my instincts just set in, and I felt it very important to go to Georgia, to Fort Benning, to investigate this school. I had come out of Latin America shortly before that. I had worked in Bolivia as a Catholic priest in a slum of La Paz, Bolivia, for 5 years, where I had been taught by the poor, where I saw my U.S. foreign policy at work. There we were supporting a brutal dictator, General Hugo Banzer, who had come into power through a violent coup. But not only in Bolivia, I had spent some time in El Salvador and Honduras and Chile and other countries, and I knew firsthand the brutality of the militaries toward the poor and how they defended a socioeconomic system there that kept a small elite very wealthy and powerful and the vast majority of the people struggling for survival. So I felt it important to go there. The way it developed, I found a little apartment right outside of the main gate of Fort Benning, called it the School of the Americas Watch. I was joined by friends, Kathy Kelly from Chicago, who's doing a lot today on Iraq. Charlie Litke came from the Bay Area, a Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam. A Jesuit from Boston came, two Dominicans, two Salvadorans. We went to work. We started gathering information through the Freedom of Information Act, human rights reports, helped along by a few members of Congress. And then, all of a sudden, the United Nations Truth Commission report on El Salvador was made public. It was from this report that we learned that soldiers from this school were responsible for the assassination of Archbishop Oscar Romero in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. They also were responsible for the rape and murder of four U.S. churchwomen from the U.S. working with the poor there in El Salvador, and many other massacres like El Masote, where over 800 were killed. Of the 12 responsible, 10 of them responsible for the death of 800 people in this small village, El Masote, including over 100 children. Now, what we learned was that this school had been around for over 50 years. They said to bring stability to Latin America. They began to train Latin American soldiers in combat. It's a combat school. Here they learn how to be commandos. They learn psychological warfare, counterinsurgency techniques. And we've documented over 600 of these soldiers who have gone back to their home countries and have committed crimes against humanity. They have disappeared countless numbers of people. They've been involved in torture and rape and disappearing many, many people. Now, What happened as we began to get our documentation about this school, well known in Latin America, but really here in our country at Fort Benning, a combat school again that trains every year about 1,200 soldiers from 18 countries. Here it was hiding behind a wall of secrecy. Mm-hmm. We started to get our documentation about all of this suffering and death to the people here at home in colleges, in faith communities, in peace groups, and little by little, a movement started to take root. Every November, we would gather at the main gate of Fort Benning to call for the closing of the school, to speak for the many whose voices have been taken away, to keep their memory alive. That first November, we had about 10 people. The next November, 100 came. The next November, about 400. This last November, 10,000 gathered at the main gate. About half there were college students from all over the country. A lot of senior citizens, a lot of veterans. I'm a veteran, a Vietnam vet. I was in the military 4 years, a naval officer before becoming a Catholic priest, once thinking of making the military a career. I got turned around in Vietnam through the violence there, losing friends, wounded there. I started for the first time to look at my country's foreign policy with critical eyes, as many of us. Now, we have a lot of veterans working on this issue. We have a lot of grandparents, parents with their children. Thousands of nuns are involved in this issue. We gathered there 10,000 strong this last November. Now, something very important. It was a week after September the 11th and all of the horror that I got a call from the commanding general of Fort Benning requesting that we not come back this year, this November, because he said we're at war with terrorism, that this is no time to be protesting. So we contacted, you know, leaders in the movement all over the country, from California to New York, from Chicago to New Orleans, college students, labor people, nuns, senior citizens, veterans, everyone. Everyone we spoke with said it's more important than ever that we gather at the main gate, because at the very core of this issue is terrorism. And our president keeps saying that we've got to go after these training camps for terrorists wherever they exist. And what we said, a good place to start is right in our backyard at this school. Because really what we're talking about here, Sue, it's a training camp for terrorists, mm-hmm. for Latin America. It's called the School of the Americas. It's at Fort Benning, Georgia. It's all paid for by our tax money. I'm happy to say a growing number of people are learning about this training camp for terrorists on U.S. soil.
Well, it's so important. It's really good news to hear that the movement is growing, because it's so hard to for most people who don't have access or aren't real assertive about getting information, because they don't easily have it if they just have the corporate media, to kind of untangle this doublespeak about saving freedom and being against terrorists and the kinds of things that that most people are exposed to. It's you know, language and ideas turned upside down.
Exactly.
How have you been so successful in building the movement? And of course, it needs to build a lot more. And most people, of course, have no idea. And I hope some people are learning about this now. They don't really know what our tax money is used for. They just don't know oftentimes.
Well, there are no shortcuts, as you know. We've got a lot of work to do, and we've got to educate, you know, ourselves and the public, the media, We had to educate members of Congress. They knew so little about this school. Many had never been to Latin America.
Members of Congress themselves didn't understand what it was what the School of the Americas was doing.
Exactly. We had to educate them, and I'm happy to say that we came just last year within 10 votes of shutting down the school. What happened, the movement began to put so much pressure on the Pentagon and on those who support the school, that they decided to change the name of the school. Last year, they had a bill to change the name of the school from the School of the Americas to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. That's its new name. But I must say, nobody has been fooled. It passed by 10 votes, and it's like taking a bottle of poison and putting penicillin on it. It's still deadly. This is still about a combat school, about men with guns. These soldiers, over 60,000, have gone through this school. They go back to Latin America, and they provide the muscle for U.S. foreign policy. They are the enforcers for the large corporations, the sweatshops who operate in Latin America. They protect the profits of the corporations. They defend and implement the policies of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. This issue, of course, connects to this whole issue of globalization. We're out to close this school, but what we're really after is to change U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. This is but another expression of U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. But something very important I want to talk about, you know, what has energized our movement. As we gather in Georgia every November, again, to keep alive the memory of the victims, we go on to Fort Benning. After a memorial service, we cross a white line. We trespass. And we participate in what's called a solemn funeral procession. We carry coffins, photographs of the victims, crosses and other symbols, and their names individually are called out. And after each name, we say, thousands there who gather say, "Presente." This person is present. Now, as we go on to Fort Benning, actually, 2 years ago, we had 3,500 who crossed the line in this procession. You can't arrest and send to jail that many people. So they usually go after a couple of dozen. We have had 70 of our people over these last 11 years who have gone to prison and have collectively served a total of 40 years. Just getting out of prison, our last 23 people who have served 6 months, that's the normal sentence, a 6-month sentence. They just got out. The youngest in the group among the 23 who just got out, Rachel Hayward, a sophomore from Kalamazoo College in Michigan. The oldest in our group, Sister Dorothy Hennessy, who's an 88-year-old Catholic nun, 88 years old, from Dubuque, Iowa. Now, when they go to prison, when we go to prison.
Yeah, and it is we, because you yourself, Father Roy Bourgeois, are one of those people who goes to prison.
Yeah, I spent a little over 4 years in U.S. federal prisons over the years for protesting, U.S. foreign policy in Latin America and calling attention to this issue. And when they send us to prison, we've learned something very important. They cannot silence us. The truth cannot be silenced. We speak from prison, and every time we go to prison, it energizes the movement. Now, something also very important I think we should address. Most of the soldiers are coming in from Colombia to go back to Colombia to implement Plan Colombia, the $1.3 billion we're pumping into this country. And it's very serious now. I just returned a few months ago with the delegation from the SOA Watch, went down there to find out what was going on. A group of 10 of us went to Colombia in a delegation to find out what Plan Colombia was all about. We spoke with our U.S. ambassador, the top generals, their vice president, and, of course, their cheerleaders for Plan Colombia, the $1.3 billion, all coming from our taxes, to go in what they say is to fight a drug war, to stop the flow of cocaine into the United States coming from Colombia. The military, of course, they're very, very happy. They say, gracias, gringos. They love this money we're giving them. It enriches them, gives them more weapons, gives them more power. But then we went to Putumayo, the southern region of the country, and met for many hours with the indigenous leaders. And we got the truth from them. what Plant Columbia is really all about, it's the spraying of a strong chemical called glyphosate, deadly, toxic, produced by Monsanto, that gave us Agent Orange in Vietnam. This strong chemical is being used, they say, to kill the coca plants from which the cocaine will come. It's killing not only these coca leaves, it's killing their food sources, the bananas. It's killing their rice, their corn, the yuca. It's going into their rivers, polluting their streams, their water, killing their fish, their livestock. They brought us into their humble homes, shacks, to meet their children, many of them covered with blisters, skin rashes. A lot of the children with serious respiratory problems, cannot breathe. And what they said very clearly was that this is a un plan de muerte. This is a plan of death for us. And they also asked a valid question. How would we feel here in the United States if we were being sprayed, our homes, our children, our crops, with this strong chemical? We would be outraged. But something else was very important, they said. What Plan Columbia really is all about, it's about those huge oil reserves on their land that we need, that we want. We have this addiction, as we all know, to oil, and we need that at any cost. And part of the plan, they say, is really to drive them, and thousands are being forced off of their land, and gives us easy access to that oil, those oil reserves. And so we've got a lot of work to do. I must say, though, our hope is strong. April the 19th through the 22nd, 60 organizations are coming together in Washington, D.C., April the 19th through the 22nd, for what we call a Columbia mobilization. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there by the thousands. We'll be calling for the closing, for the stop, cut off all funding to Columbia to stop this madness, this plan of death. And we're also going to lobby for H.R., House Resolution 1810, which is a bill calling for the cutting off of all funds to this School of the Americas. Letters to representatives, to senators, of course, are very, very important. For a lot more information on the bill, more details, and also resources that are available, you had mentioned why has the movement grown so fast. Another reason, we've got some excellent resources, videos. We've got an excellent book just released, School of Assassins, Guns, Greed, and Globalization, that connects the school, this school, combat school, training Latin American soldiers to the bigger issue of globalization. An excellent video called SOA, Guns and Greed. That video can be ordered through our SOA watch in Washington, D.C. That's box 4566, Washington, D.C., 20017. Our website, very important for more information mm-hmm. for our listeners, www.soaw.org. There's a lot of information on our website, more about Columbia, about this school for terrorists, about the resources available for us to become more educated, and we can all do something and do it well. And I invite the listeners really to be a part of this movement.
And I just want to tell you, we're going to repeat that web page. Well, maybe we'll repeat it right now and then again at the end of the show, because we still have a few more minutes to speak here with Father Roy Bourgeois, who is a Catholic priest of the Mary Knoll Order and an organizer of School of the Americas Watch at Fort Benning, Georgia, where the School of the Americas, which has this new name, to try to fool people, and as you say, it hasn't. Yes. So what is the webpage again? And then I want to ask you some more questions.
Yes, the website again is www.soaw.org. Mm-hmm. O-R-G.
So basically stands for School of America's Watch. .org.
Yeah. School of the Americas Watch, SOAW.org.
So, this issue of Columbia is really a Plan Columbia. I know, I don't think too many people know about it, and it often gets couched that, you know, the United States is defending freedom. I mean, I just hope, because there's such a pattern all over the world of these same kinds of things going on, that people start to get the gist of it. Once you get the gist of it, you can read between the lines or, you know, flip the words around and see what's really going on, because there has been this very long history of trying to control the world, and certainly it's not getting any less. It's getting more, and the drug war is often gets used as part of it too. Although I've been, I don't know if you want to address this, but I guess I'll just say it myself. I've been recently hearing a whole lot of evidence about. And I remember somebody saying about Colombia, it's not wanting to stop the drug war, it's wanting to control it.
let me say that. You know, it's so important that we really look with critical eyes at our foreign policy. If we don't want to understand what's going on, we've got to do this. Also, it angers me to hear our president present our country, you know, as the Mother Teresa of the world. You know, we're benevolent, very saintly, we're good, and out there is the evil. Well, a lot of people don't see it that way. And I'm encouraged as I travel around, so many people are questioning our foreign policy. Mm-hmm. All I can say is, you know, how we perceive ourselves is not how others on the other end in these developing countries see us, perceive us. And they see us causing a lot of suffering and death. It's all about profits, exploiting them and their resources. We've got 5% of the world's population. We consume some 40% of its resources. People around the world see a causal relationship between their poverty and our wealth, our power, and we better wake up.
Yeah, and it's getting so direct with, like, the chemicals and, I mean, not only the poverty, the health issues. So you are finding as you travel around that there are more and more people who are starting to get it.
Oh, without a doubt, Sue. I mean, I'm constantly on the road, came back from talks, you know, 5 colleges in Salt Lake City, just coming out of North Carolina, Boston, here, of course, in California. Big turnouts, lots of college students, high school students, church groups, wherever I go, there are large audiences and a real openness to this message. I mean, a lot of people, true, are, you know, involved in just the blind patriotism, ways of waving the flags and believing the lies that are being put out there. But many, many, a growing number of people realize that this is not the way it is, that we're the good, they're the evil out there. Many, many people, more people, are really questioning our U.S. foreign policy and really getting involved in this issue of the School of the Americas. What it has become really is a teachable moment. It's a way, it's a door to Latin America. We can look at this school and learn a lot about U.S. foreign policy in Latin America, and it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah. I was also interested in what you said earlier about every time people go to prison, that it really the movement gets even stronger. Because I myself am I'm happy to speak out, and I don't want to go to prison. And I know with the Patriot Act and all that's going on now, I might, but I hope, you know, I don't want to feed that idea. And yet, I want people to really understand. And so I'd just like you to say more about that.
Well, going to prison has been hard. I've been there for about, you know, a little over 4 years, as many of us have. And we've learned something very important, though. They cannot silence us when they send us to prison. It does energize our movement. The hardest part, personally, for me, has been dealing with my family and friends. Some of them don't understand this. And there's no, you know, easy way. We've got to follow our conscience. And I simply say my experience compels me. My experience in Latin America and before that in the military, and what I know about my country's foreign policy now and how it's so connected to suffering, to exploitation, to death, that I've got to act. And it has led to prison. And for me personally, it has meant, you know, it's a way of holding on to my integrity, being able to sleep at night. I've been in prison and I have never felt freer. I'm also happy to say that the many visits in prison from my family, my friends, has helped them understand this struggle. And they are now a part of this movement. They come down to Georgia every November. Some of my family and friends, you know, they cross the line. And that's okay if they don't. I mean, I'll still understand that. But we've got to do what we have to do, even if it means going to prison. And others, hopefully, will in time come to understand why we do these things. You know, it's that serious. We have been inspired, in really, this movement by people like Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, Cesar Chavez. They have provided for us a lot of inspiration. They are really, our movement, I want to say, that continues to grow is rooted in nonviolence and connected in solidarity with the suffering poor of Latin America. Another thing, Archbishop Oscar Romero said it very well. He was assassinated by graduates of this school before he was killed. He said, let those who have a voice speak for the voiceless. A lot of people are discovering, many for the first time, as I discovered years ago, I've got a voice. And I've got to, you know, look at these issues with critical eyes. And I have to speak clearly and boldly about this issue and all these other issues.
Well, I'm certainly very inspired by you, Father Bourgeois, and I assume other people will be, and I don't really think that most Americans or most people in the world would want their tax money, you know, are really for war and would want our tax money to be used in the ways that it is if they knew about it.
Exactly.
And I don't want to go back to the issue of the media again, because, but it's always there. And just we just have a short time left, but I wonder if you would comment about the Patriot Act. And do you know about it? And this is basically our constitutional rights are going quickly with this act.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be much more challenging. I mean, they're going to start coming down hard on us. Anybody who, like on this issue, they're going to start saying, as in during the Cold War, you know, that we were communists, you know, that now the buzzword is terrorists. You know, anybody criticizing U.S. foreign policy and calling George Bush's statements for what they are, they're lies. And, you know, we are going to be called terrorists. But let me say, more than ever, we need each other. More than ever, we're coming together in large numbers. And I see a lot of hope as I travel around. They do not, you know, scare me. If they send us to prison, we will speak from prison. We've been there before. We'll go back. And it simply is going to energize this movement.
Mm-hmm. And it's in big numbers of people that our hope lies, in a way, to really take a stand, in my opinion.
Oh, exactly, exactly. This is a grassroots movement. Change will not come from the top down. It will come from the bottom up. And this is what's going on. This movement and is connected to other movements. It's all about peace, about justice. It's all about, you know, really trying to end the oppression, the exploitation. That's so much a foreign part of our foreign policy in the developing world and also in many of our domestic policies. So we're going to continue to organize and build our movement.
Great. Okay, well, it's time for the contact information again, please.
Yes, the contact information is to check out our website for more information to get those excellent resources, the video, SOA Guns and Greed, and the book, School of Assassins, Guns, Greed, and Globalization. They're on our website, www.soaw.org.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Father Roy Bourgeois, Catholic priest of the Mary Noel Order, organizer of School of America's Watch. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.